It's time for the forecast.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Welcome to the forecast, a podcast like no other.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about? About nothing.
The Forecast, sponsored by Charterhouse Real Estate. Charterhouse is redefining how you view real estate by eliminating the typical commission structure of 6 or 7% to sell your home. List your home for $2,495 plus 3% and still get full service. Check out charterhouseiowa.com to learn more.
There's only one thing I value in this world, Stephen, that's loyalty. Without it, you're nothing. You have no one. It's the only currency you can count on.
Now, please welcome your hosts, Mark Charter and Chris Williams.
Sit down.
I think you may have something here.
And we're potting. Welcome to this week's podcast. I'm having microphone issues. All right, now we're good. We are at the Carl Chevrolet Studios today. We're actually we had a meeting before you guys came, where we're going to develop in this corner of the room a set.
It's the northeast corner for those of
that is the northeast
kind of visualizing.
Corner. Yeah, well, we're for real, it's going to be cool. Where we're going to start broadcasting select podcasts on Facebook Live.
There you go. Is this like an announcement right now?
No.
Breaking news?
No.
This is
I'm having a microphone problem.
This is why you tune into the podcast.
So, Charter, how's it going over there?
Man.
check. Now we're good.
Just don't move, dude.
High quality
yes.
stuff.
Do
dude.
Not move. I hope Carl's is paying for a new soundboard.
Carl
for
Chevrolet
you guys.
Studios.
In this it's studio.
Not, it's weird. I don't
you
know.
You always tell me that it's not this, it's not that. It's something, Chris.
It's not.
It's something.
I know exactly what it is. It's the electromagnetic waves from the ghosts of Prairie Trail Past.
Could be.
Who did we kill
to put these buildings up? It was just DMAC farmland
Indians
before this.
Or like, is it like the Cherokee?
God owned it originally.
There's probably Indian bones beneath this building.
Oh, yeah.
That would explain it.
There's probably bones of all sorts beneath all of us all the time, if you think about it. Like, people had to decompose somewhere, and dinosaurs and stuff like that. Like, there's got to be remains.
You know what? Here's some underrated coolness. I don't know if you've ever seen this or found this, but this is, like, speaking about our past and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
You read about the past in textbooks, and you can kind of picture in your mind, but part of you is like,
somebody's version
did
of
really,
the past.
Did it really happen like that? You know, it's kind of like whatever. What's really cool?
The Old Testament is all like that,
dude,
by the way.
What's really cool is finding an arrowhead. That's our version of being a geologist or an archaeologist, because it's like some Indian shot this thing at something or somebody.
Yeah.
And now
yeah.
I'm finding it hundreds of years later.
Yeah, it's
and
cool.
And it's cool, dude.
It's awesome.
I've found a few of those before.
Yeah, we used to hunt something. For those when I was a kid all the time.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
I think I probably embellished it. Like, any rock that came to a point, I'm like, this is probably...
That's an arrowhead.
This is probably used as a spear at some point.
Sure.
Kind of like the kids who grow up on the ocean, everything's a shark tooth. You know, any sort of a pointy rock.
You know, you can also find those in Kansas.
Shark teeth?
Yep.
Is that a true story?
That is a true story.
What are you talking about?
Kansas used to be the bottom of the ocean.
Shut up.
Seriously.
That doesn't sound true.
They find...
Are you talking about, like, tectonic plates and stuff like that?
Well, I suppose that plays into it. I couldn't tell you how.
Because everything shifts?
I couldn't tell you how it got there.
What ocean was it at the bottom of?
I don't know. The water ocean?
Well, Iowa used to be covered in glaciers, if you believe in radon, which Nick and I are familiar with in our trade. Iowa has one of the highest concentrations of radon in the country.
Let me ask you this.
Is it because of the glaciers?
And it's because of the way the glaciers formed Iowa.
A lot of people think radon is fake news.
Well, radon's hard.
A lot of people do believe that.
Radon's hard to prove because radon is odorless and tasteless, and you don't know if you have radon or not, other than doing a test. And the test tests the air quality, and if the level's above a 4, then apparently everybody has radon.
Everybody has it.
This building right now has radon in it. Every school that your children goes to has radon in it. But the EPA says that if it's not above a 4.0, and you test the air quality for 48 hours, then you're okay. You're not going to die. If it's above that, they say get rid of it. And you can do that fairly inexpensively for about $900. There's a system that you can put in. But it's the leading cause of death for lung cancer in the United States, not related to cigarette smoke.
Oh.
About 11,000 people die a year, I think, is the stats radon.
How many times a year do your guys' clients, like, do you check that and do they actually install it?
I would say probably 80% of the people I've worked with, either buying or selling, have tested for it.
Yeah.
The times it's been an issue is probably 10% for me.
Yeah, I mean, I would say more don't have a radon issue than do, but Iowa has, like, radon levels vary greatly, even from house to house right next door to each other. You could have a 1.0 in your house, and your neighbor could have a 20.
How? That doesn't make any sense.
It does, because it's the amount of uranium in the soil directly below your house. So uranium is not spread equally throughout Iowa soil.
Really?
You're going to have some places with a lot of it and some not. And as that uranium decays, it creates radon, which gets released into your house. So for people out there listening that have no idea what radon is, it can kill you. So you can check. $100 roughly for a professional test.
Is it true? I'm so annoyed with this microphone right now.
We told you not to move.
Check. No. Is it true that new construction often has more of a radon problem?
Zero truth to that. That would make no sense whatsoever.
Hold on 1 second.
There is no rhyme or reason for neighborhoods or... That's a misnomer big time.
I always thought that, like, because you turn up the dirt. That's what I always thought. No.
Yeah, but it also
releases
because they're
not really turning up the dirt. They're pulling dirt back that to put in a foundation, but it would be the stuff below the foundation, so they haven't even touched that. So
even
no,
goes up right away.
Yeah, there's okay. There's no truth to that. Radon can be anywhere where there's soil. Let's put it that way. So there you go. Save some lives today.
I mean, I won't lie. Like, I had I got one of the test kits from Menards or whatever. Mm-hmm. And sent it back, and it was right on the line, if I needed to treat it or not. Yeah. And I didn't do it because I was of course they're going to tell me I need to do this.
Yeah.
Because I just don't. I always think people are trying to screw me.
Yeah. I would suggest if people are interested in finding out their house has radon to get a professional inspector to do it.
Don't do the Menards thing.
Nah, I wouldn't do that. I mean, it's going to be $7,500.
But wouldn't the inspector always tell you you have radon so you buy a kit from him?
No, because they're not the ones installing the systems. Yep. So the key is to avoid people that are doing something and they're going to benefit from the end product.
Yes.
That's exactly not what these inspectors are doing. It's just a testing kit that spits out a number. Every hour it takes the reading, and then over 48 hours it averages those readings. And if your average reading is high, then mitigate it, which is just a system that gets installed that's about $900, and then you're okay after that. So for a total of $1,000 roughly, you could take cancer out of your house, so to speak. Right?
Well, you're just going to find something else to die from.
Oh, yeah.
That's true.
And then you're going to die walking through.
We're all dying right now, right?
But yes,
Each day we're closer. There
are a lot of people. Let me give a tip, by the way.
Tip from Mark Charter.
Real estate tip. And I know Nick backs me on this one 100%.
We'll see.
We run into things in real estate where we'll pull a listing. A client of ours wants to go see a house. We'll pull the sheet that has all the information on it, right?
Okay.
There's a spot on that that says agent remarks. It's where agents can put a note for the other agents to see. And one of the things that one of the things apparently agents are telling their clients to do, which they shouldn't, they're getting bad advice on this topic,
okay,
is it will say, seller will not mitigate for radon. They do not want to know about the result. They're basically saying, don't ask. Okay?
Yeah, don't ask, don't tell.
There's no reason to put that. All that accomplishes is it puts the sellers in the light of they are going to be difficult people. They won't listen to reason. They doubt science. Okay.
They're basically Trumpers.
And when I have clients, when I have buyer clients, it just makes me want them to ask for the system. Because it puts you in this position screw these people.
No, I totally get it.
You know, and it's why would they say no to that up front without any evidence whether it exists or not, and not say no to roof repairs or foundation repairs? They might as well just say, don't ask about the roof. Yeah, don't ask about anything because we're difficult. We're not going to say yes to
those. That's
going to
cost a heck of a lot more money.
That's crazy.
A radon system.
So, if you're selling your house and your agent's giving you that advice, bad advice.
That's
no reason to put that whatsoever.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
I didn't even know you guys had your own little back channel thing.
Oh, we do.
Well, it's for things like the dog's going to be kenneled up or stuff like that. That, you know, it doesn't help market the house necessarily.
That's interesting.
Yeah. Well, that's why you listen, Williams. You get some tips every once
in a while. Well, in the middle of the babble, you get a nice tip from a real estate professional.
Yeah.
If they could hear it through all the crackling.
By the way,
we're good now.
I learned a new way to
clap. They can't hear what you're talking about, so we're good now.
I learned a new way to clap the other day. I went to Poetry Slam 2019.
What the hell is that?
I'm convinced that kids today are, you know, like my second grade son, Seton, he's got a great teacher. Like, she's like into it.
Good.
Like,
that's good.
It's been awesome.
Elementary teachers are, you know, they're molding our children.
If you go to Northeast Elementary in Ankeny, you want Mrs. Peterson, second grade. She's awesome. But they had poetry. So a couple takeaways. They had this poetry cafe set up the other day about 2:15. Okay. So we get there, you go to the classroom, all the kids are there, the lights are low, they got candles lit, basically, like they're setting the mood for this thing.
Yeah, of course.
It reminded me of Mitch from She's All That. remember Mitch? You know, before he gets up and does his hacky sack routine? What does he say?
I don't know what you're talking
something,
about.
Something, be still. Be,
Chris, you would, you've not seen She's All That?
She's All That is
you
great,
would
dude.
Love that movie.
Is it,
you would absolutely love
is
that
Is that
movie.
The one where the girl is a geek and he turns her, and Freddie Prince Jr. turns her into...
Laney Boggs is her name.
Laney's got a gun.
But Laney takes him to a poetry thing and Mitch gets up there in his underwear. He's only wearing underwear. And he does this... It's great, honestly. This great poetry thing. And then Zach has to get up there and he does this hacky sack. Don't let it drop, Zach. Don't let it drop. So anyway, I went to one of these, but it was in elementary school. And so all the kids are there and they've each written two poems. These are... You know, they created them. My sons were called Farmland and the Beach Ball. So
that's things.
I didn't even know he was doing these. But, you know, props to the kids. They got up there. They had a little microphone set up in the classroom, and they had to read it. What was surprising to me, though, is it felt like every parent was there. Like, it was crowded. And in situations like that, I'm like, does anybody have a real job anymore? Like, I grew up with a father that could not attend that. He worked at UPS. He was out in Ogden delivering packages. It seems like every parent was in the room.
Here's the issue. The peer pressure on parents is so freaking high that everybody has to go to these damn things. Otherwise, you look like the parent that doesn't give a crap about your freaking kid.
That's true. I'm going to let Nick rant on this all he wants. But before that, we were instructed. We were instructed to not clap after each poem. We had to do this.
Seriously? You had to snap?
So all the parents together after every poem.
What about the parents that can't snap?
Was doing that. Can you snap?
Oh, I can snap, yeah.
Yeah, so it was that the whole time.
Wink.
So, Nick, I want to go back to this peer pressure. Like, who's putting on the peer pressure for you to be at these things?
No, the social media is, right? Oh, I had a great time at Johnny's
Facebook's
third grade.
Fault. Damn you, Zuckerberg.
I feel like you're really insecure about this. Like, I don't think that, like, any other parent there is noticing if you're there.
You cannot deny that we're allowing these pressures to influence what we do.
Then get off of Facebook.
See, in Nick's mind, if he doesn't show up, they're all talking about Nick.
Yeah, you're...
Nick's a bad dad.
No, you seem very insecure.
If I can't post about it, I wasn't there.
Oh, I get that. Like, you know, our anniversary was last week, and I felt, like, absolute pressure by society to post something nice to my wife. Because if not, they'd be like, oh, he doesn't even like her.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I
get
what you're saying.
Put happy anniversary, baby. There's got to be a freaking story.
Well, why do I have to do it on Facebook? Like, I mean, I can still tell my wife happy anniversary and not put it on Facebook.
Yep.
Well, I agree with Nick in a way here where it has become, sadly so.
Like, make it great,
if you give your wife a card and flowers and take her for dinner for anniversary, I would argue you've done a great job. But you have not acknowledged your love for this fabulous woman to the world.
Yeah.
And that makes you a piece of crap.
Yeah, because you didn't publicly do it.
You have to publicly.
Where back in the day, all that stuff was private.
You have to publicly declare these things, or else it doesn't count.
Maybe your folks would call and say, hey, I just want to wish you guys a happy anniversary. Now it's, hey, I got 40,000 likes because it's my anniversary.
Yeah, and you sit there and like, oh, well, and then the wife will be like, well, so-and-so didn't like your post.
Yeah.
They don't like me.
So now they got a problem with you.
Why does this person like all of her posts but never likes mine? Does she not like me?
Yeah. It's yeah, even the likes are becoming a thing. And sometimes it is obvious. We had the old story with my wife where she had said something to someone and there were 36 posts and 35 of them had been liked and hers was not. Those are the obvious ones. It's like, okay, you're just being a dick.
Have you heard
point.
I think it's on Twitter mostly, getting ratioed. Have you heard about this?
What? No, that sounds like a Me Too thing.
This guy knows what's up. It's apparently when you get like more retweets than likes or maybe vice versa or something, and it's somewhat the opposite effect. It almost means that you had a crappy post and people are retweeting it to make fun of you about it.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah.
Apparently it's called
getting ratioed. I'd be fine with that. That's a retweet's a retweet, man. It's all
speaking
good.
Of that, did you guys read the story about the guy that shipped the brick of heroin?
No.
Yeah, I did.
Oh, my gosh. What a story.
What happened?
It was like, how many posts? How many posts?
Everybody
was
freaking retweeted it.
It was a Twitter thread that contained probably 70?
It was a lot of
50,
like
70
tweets.
Like individual tweets to comprise a long story.
Oh, one of those deals. Yeah.
But yeah, in a nutshell, the guy, there was a lot to the story that was kind of irrelevant, frankly.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but
it was a good story, though.
He ends up buying and I don't know whether it's true or not. Do you believe it fully?
I don't know.
But anyway, this guy buys
a
road trips with his friend, buys a used van, discovers a brick of heroin in the carburetor. Like somewhere
taped into the engine compartment, the hood.
Sells it?
Yeah.
Am I going?
Like, yep.
Sells it. Okay, so admitted
sells it to somebody who knew who could distribute it.
Admits to a crime, and then sells the brick, and then eventually the guy that owned the van that would have known there was heroin in it calls and tries to buy the van back, and he acts dumb like he doesn't know what's going on, and then eventually wraps something up.
A book.
That was not a book.
It was a book.
It was a John Grisham book.
Something like that, yeah.
Wraps a John Grisham book up to look like a brick of heroin, tapes it back where it would have been found.
What state was this in?
I think that in
this
Washington.
This one from California, mostly California and Oregon, but it did say
not
Seattle.
Not surprising that the damn liberals in
California. So anyway, so the guy discovers that it's a John Grisham book.
You notice how I've done this? I've insulted Trumpers and liberals.
I like it.
So, don't know where I'm at.
So anyway, the guy figures out he just got a John Grisham book and not his brick of heroin, and tries to track him down and says, "I'm going to kill you" or whatever. And then apparently this guy that was making the threats was a member of MS-13 and was arrested for murder shortly thereafter of someone else.
Life without parole.
But then the guy has said some director has contacted him and wants to make a movie. Wants to make.
I had
a
dream the other
adventure.
Night that I was murdered by a gang.
That's rare in Iowa.
No, it was somewhere a real else. Deal. I
on the streets of Bondo, or is it?
I
like,
don't.
Were you somewhere you shouldn't have been?
I don't. You know how like in dreams you remember like what happened, but you don't remember like some of the specifics. Yeah. I do remember getting into my truck, and all of a sudden, like three guys emerged from the back seat. And a guy pops up and they're like, what's going on, man?
We didn't like your show today.
And I was like,
Yeah.
Something's about to go down here.
They're all wearing hot gear.
And I remember the one guy had a gun into my side.
Yeah.
And he told me to drive. And we went to like this warehouse. And that's where it all ended. It was all over from there.
Was there a reason?
Man,
they
you drove yourself to your death.
I don't know.
I think that's the moral of the story. Driving yourself to your own death.
I've been having really bad dreams lately. I had the wife was having an affair.
Ooh.
Had the one where I got murdered by the gang.
Did you know the guy? That's what makes the dreams interesting.
No, I didn't know the guy. It was just a guy.
Yeah.
That was a bad deal, though. You know, because she's with child.
Did you wake up and ask her? Sometimes the dreams seem real.
I did tell her about it.
I just want to make
sure.
It's
like, Ash, you stepping out on me? I just need to know. Yeah. She doesn't strike me as the type, Williams. Just
boy, I tell you,
think you're good.
I've it's been a whole deal. It's been a whole deal.
I would never want to join a gang. Never was appealing to me. I remember hearing again. It's kind of like radon. Is it true or not? Growing up in Ames, I heard about a gang that was in Gilbert. they were known. I think they were known.
Seriously?
I think they were known as the Cowboys, and the rumor was to join the gang in Gilbert. This would have been a high school gang.
Oh, okay. So this isn't present day.
No. It could still exist. To join the gang, at least the rumor at Ames High was that you had to have sexual intercourse with a deer carcass. That was the initiation. So, and me being from Ames, a big town, I wasn't aware. Maybe that is what you do for a good time in a small town.
Get down. Just for context here.
Yeah.
Can you wear protection
I think you con them up, although I don't think you can catch things from dead animals.
Well, that's what I was wondering, because this seems really...
Could you catch... No, I mean, rabies dies once they die, right?
Dude,
you can't get rabies off like dead.
I don't know.
I don't know any of this scientifically, but I about guarantee you that disease can be passed.
I don't think deer AIDS from, transfers to human AIDS, so I don't think well, that's about
stuff
that
we've never
There's
heard of.
There's got to be something bad that can happen from having sex with a dead deer.
I just think, you know, the virus, like, let's take
it's
humans,
probably why
though.
The gang doesn't exist anymore.
And, like, these stupid cowboys, and, yeah, if you're a real gang, then bring it on, because you're a bunch of idiots if that's what you're doing. Like, who can, you know, for a male to reproduce,
yeah,
or not necessarily reproduce, but to make coitus,
yeah,
you have to have, like, a certain thing has to happen to your body.
Yeah. You have to be excited, Chris.
Yeah, for that to be sustained while doing coitus with the deer carcass, like, to me does not seem possible.
Well, I don't know. Like I said, I'm not saying it was true. I'm just saying that was the rumor back in the day that's what was happening. But, you know, I wish Ashley was on this podcast because she is a vet. She'd probably know something about this passing of viruses from
all sorts of
dead animals to live humans.
STIs. Do you think it's gondiarrhea? Is that what you're going to get?
Gondiarrhea.
You know what, Mark? You've gone too far this time.
It only took 217 episodes.
You've finally taken this too far.
I'm just telling a story, man.
I don't know. This is the one
speaking of coitus and stuff.
Yeah.
Stansberry was telling us before he left about a problem with the homeless population in San Francisco.
Oh, yeah. They're all diseasing each other up.
They're pooping everywhere.
Yeah. What does this have to do with coitus again?
No, I just...
That was a terrible... awful.
Public pooping has to do with sex now, apparently, somehow.
No, that sucks.
No, they do give each other disease, though. They spread disease like wildfire.
That's actually really sad. Like, have you ever been in, like, a city and you've gotten caught up in the homeless population?
Like a transient population.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Never to where I'm stepping on poop, though.
Not that, but, like, I remember, man... when we were at the NCAA tournament in Denver, so our hotel was right in the heart of, like, downtown Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And this is where, like, you do see, like, the whole, like, I think most rational people are okay with a guy smoking a joint. Like,
yeah,
it's not a big deal. And, like,
yeah,
you do see, though, how that can turn the wrong way.
Yeah.
When you walk downtown Denver.
Mm-hmm.
And you see, like, these people are high as a kite.
Yeah.
And they're just, they're content with just laying there on the streets. And, like, it's a whole different deal. And, man, I remember walking through there, and it was really sad.
Yeah.
Like, just, because it's almost like, yeah, they're just told, like, most, like, if you... No homeless people, like, it's a really sad story, and something's gone wrong in their life, and they just need a break.
We see it in Vegas. Walk the strip.
Some of these people, like, are just like, man, they're just playing their drums and smoking pot, and, like, it was an eye-opening deal for me. I'll put it that way.
Yeah, you're going to Vegas soon. If you walk the strip, you'll see some homeless people out there, and you do feel bad for them. Obviously, their life derailed at some point. And so part of you wants to ask.
I feel like they do a good job of keeping them out of there, too, though. They don't want them to mess with the tourists. That's the money, right?
They try. By the way, the homeless thing reminds me of, because another issue they have is drug usage in places like San Francisco. I'm trying to remember where I was. I've heard read articles about this, that it's happening, like, in Starbucks bathrooms and things like that. But I think... I was in the Atlanta airport.
What's going on in Starbucks bathrooms?
Well, I'm getting to that, okay? Yeah. So I think I'm in the Atlanta airport. This was recent. I'm trying to think where I was. I think it was the Atlanta airport. I was in the bathroom there. And on the wall of the bathroom, they have a Sharps container, which is, like, if you know the medical profession, that's needles.
Yeah.
That's where you dispose of your needles, right?
Yeah.
And this thing had a lot of needles in it, okay? And this is the public restroom in the Atlanta airport. Now, I'm thinking, there cannot be that many diabetics.
Do you know how many people go through the Atlanta airport? It's like one of the biggest hubs in the world.
So I was thinking, like, is it that common? But they're doing that in Starbucks bathrooms. They're starting to put some of these in bigger cities. They're starting to put some of those containers there because people go into Starbucks bathrooms and do their drugs and leave, right? And they don't want those things in the trash where they can hurt people. But I'm like, Is drugs such a common thing that in the Atlanta airport they've got it just on the wall? Hey, put your drug needles here.
I'm going to say
or
no
is it
to
all
that,
but diabetics or anyone right? with a condition where they need to
I would say
shoot.
There's probably a lot of people that need to
you know how hard it is to get drugs through an airport?
I would think it's hard.
I can't imagine there's like a lot of heroin addicts.
Are these bathrooms? Well, these are beyond the
yeah, they're in the
check-in.
They're
the
in
security,
the airport, yeah.
Right? So yeah,
this is there are a lot of diabetics out there, Mark.
Maybe way more than I think.
Yeah, I think that there are. I just think it'd be vastly difficult to get heroin through security.
And then need to shoot up before you got on the plane.
Yeah.
So you need a place to dump it. Like, that's, yeah. Between A and B there, I don't think that's the spot for it.
I don't know.
Starbucks thing, I could see that.
Killing me.
A lot more.
Yeah, I could see them a lot better shooting up in Starbucks.
I don't know. Chris, where's the weirdest place you've shot up?
We have a wide array of podcast listeners. If any of you actually do use heroin and shoot it.
How about have? I bet.
Would you do it at the airport before your flight?
Where's Ross when we need him?
Yeah. I just want to know.
Somebody write this down for the next
time or better yet.
I'm not insinuating Ross does heroin, but I guarantee you know somebody who does.
Here's a better question. If you're a listener to the podcast and you have diabetes, as Wilfred says.
A little diabetes.
If you have diabetes and you shoot up, do you do so and then dispose in the Sharps container in bathroom?
Here's an example. You know, like, I haven't talked about it much, but the wife and I did in vitro.
Yeah.
You know, like, that's a deal where...
Were you in the women's bathroom?
I was not.
Oh, okay.
But that's a reason that you can get that on a plane, like, and... Because we had a Sharps container at our house because she was taking like two shots a day for a while.
That would not describe the men's restroom.
No. But I'm just, you know, I'm thinking of other reasons
how
why.
How did you dispose of your needles?
We had a Sharps container.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes
sense. We did. We had a Sharps container.
So what do you do after that? You're at your house. You have a Sharps container. Then what do you do with them?
I think she, you know, being a doctor.
Dispose them at work.
I think she probably took them to work.
Okay.
Actually, you know what? She didn't. She saved them all.
Like for
like memory? Saved them, saved them, or we just, you just haven't gotten rid of them yet.
Memories.
I think that she's probably gonna do something like for a scrapbook for the baby, like to show because we've done this twice. So like, there's been a lot that's gone into it, and I think she might put them all. I don't know exactly, but I think
it's gonna be quite the story. You were created out of love.
You were created,
and this,
yeah,
over here. This helped a little
you
bit.
You were
too.
Created, yeah, and boy, that's a whole deal. Like I. That
not one you'd wish on people.
Well, I'll say this in case anybody's listening who can help me out. I want to write this book.
Mm-hmm.
I want to write this book so bad, but I've also thought about making a website for it. But like that whole deal, like a lot of dudes go through that with their wives. It's a very common thing. But there's nothing out there for men. Like there's no resources, nothing. I want to like tell the story like in a fun way. Like I can like the first chapter is going to be me masturbating in, you know, the room with the girls at the ACC 1999 Playboy magazine up on the wall that like thousands of dudes have rummaged through.
Wait, the magazine was on the wall?
Dude, have you ever been in one of those places?
No, I took my sample so
for
in, remember?
Another example. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I ever told this story on here. First time I ever delivered the sample to the clinic.
You did it at home.
Walk in with my little lunch bag.
Yeah.
Full of semen.
Yeah.
And guess who's sitting right there? Girl I used to date.
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, and she knows I'm carrying a bag full of semen. I could do a lot of great stories and like you interview doctors and stuff like for dudes only.
Yeah.
But I've been trying to like, I don't want to self-publish it. And anybody who's ever tried to publish a book knows how. Like just big
I've heard it's really easy.
Self-published, yeah. Well, that's why we have to have Chandler Bolt on your self-publishing
school.
So
I started following him, and he just kept spamming me with emails, and I had to...
that's what they do. They sell.
Oh, my God.
He wants to sell you a product.
I was getting like 6 emails a day from this guy.
Apparently that works. I don't know. I don't like it either. But.
Oh, my God.
So the biggest question, if I had to guess, the biggest question men have about the process, because the only exposure they have to the room, as we'll call it, is movies, right? Is it like it is in movies, or is it absolutely not that way? You make it sound like there was one piece of pornography to use.
No, here's what you do. So you walk in, and there's a couch that's probably like from the 90s, like a dorm couch.
You don't want a nice couch in that room.
But they put a sheet over it.
Okay.
It's a nice sheet, white sheet.
Okay.
Because it's, you know, it's got to blend in.
Yeah.
In case there's an accident.
Yeah.
It's a white sheet over this couch.
I hope they wash the sheet after every visit.
In case there's an accident.
Okay.
And beside the couch is a cup with instructions. And then
deposit, get it in here.
And you have to, like, write your name on the cup to make sure it's identified correctly, et cetera. And up on the right wall is a bunch of magazines. You've got everything from, like, Glamour to Playboys.
Glamour.
What?
Nice job, Costanza.
Yeah. Somebody caught that.
Glamour?
Glamour magazine.
Oh.
And then on the left wall.
I found my son using his body like an amusement park ride.
Yeah. But on the other wall, and this always cracks me up, it's like the fertility clinic is trying to be like classy about this.
Oh, yeah.
It's like the silhouette of a woman's butt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's like art.
Okay.
And then there's a sink where you can wash your hands
just
afterwards.
In case the magazines aren't doing it for you.
I'm telling you, but like my descriptions of this, I've been taking notes for like 4 years on this.
Now, your wife.
I could write a hilarious book about this. I really want to do it, though, and interview like psychologists, doctors. Yeah. I think I could make a great book on infertility for dudes that could be very helpful yet entertaining.
Your wife is allowed in the room, correct?
No.
Oh, not at all?
Absolutely not.
I thought they were.
No.
So you at least have something to like look
Absolutely
at.
Not. No.
I understand she can't help.
She can't do anything. Nope. Not in the room.
Why?
She can't help orally because that messes up the sample.
I get that part, but.
Nope. They
yeah, but she could
there.
Help by like just showing you her boobs.
Nope.
That's against the rules?
Can't do it.
That's surprising. So no video?
I think
in
you
here?
Were
no videos?
I think you're misinformed.
I mean, if a guy wanted to bring
Did you
a
ask?
Cell phone in, he surely could.
See, I'm surprised they even have magazines because people have phones.
Well, the gross part about the magazines, though, it's like, one, how long have they been there? Two, how many dudes have been, you know?
Yeah.
Hey, you're there for a reason, though, and it's not just for fun. Right,
so no, there's a lot of pressure because everybody else is sitting in the waiting room waiting for you to leave.
Does it feel a little different because of the pressure?
Do you wait a couple minutes afterwards? If you like, I can't go out this early.
That's what I was going to say. If you walk out too fast.
Oh, Nurse Cratchit's out there going, new record, Chris.
First time I ever did it there.
We're going to take your picture, put it on the wall, 38 seconds. It's impressive.
Another story I have from it that I could get into great detail on. The first time I did it there. There's a guy who collects. That's like his job.
Yep.
And he's like, shouldn't you be in Greenfield? Because it was RVTV.
Oh, man, that's always nice.
I'm like, ah, oh, shit. This guy knows exactly who I am.
Hi, I'm Chris Williams. I'm here to masturbate. Yeah, it's like you can't hide it, dude.
Yeah, you'd have to walk in there like Hawkeye gear.
So how many times did you have to do this?
Way too many times, man. At least double digits.
Like, why so many for you? Because it just takes one to kind of like analyze the count.
We did. No, but we did multiple rounds of like the artificial insemination and then in vitro.
Okay.
Once we started the in vitro stuff, you don't have to go in as much. But
So by visit 12, were you like comfortable with this process?
Oh, yeah. It's like nothing.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. And like you always have to realize that everybody else in there is in there for the same reason. So
I think the whole key is knowing that it's coming up and maybe abstaining for a couple days.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. They give you like a worksheet.
Yeah.
That you have to go through and all that. But anyways.
Oh, man.
So if there's any book publishers out there who want to work with me on this.
Do we have a working title
on
this book?
Actually, and if there's any web developers out there, because I don't want to go through the people that I usually use for Cyclone Fanatic. I just want something cheap. I do want to start a website on this. And I have a partner who wants to do like the female side of all this. Not necessarily infertility, but she's a very well-known. People will know her. I'm not going to say her name yet. But we want to do like this in like just a parenting / like husband-wife podcast where I can be like, you know, why do women suck? And she can do the same. Like, I think it could be a lot of fun. And I think it could be really successful.
Or you could get a lot of hate mail if that's the premise. Why do women suck? You know?
But I think she would do the same. Like, well, why are men such idiots?
It's not the title.
You know?
Men are
idiots. In progress.
I'll agree with that one completely.
Yeah. So, Chris M. Williams at CycloneFanatic.com. I'll be looking forward to signing the $1 million book deal here in the next week.
So no working title? You don't have anything good?
No, I. Part of me thinks I should just do like a big blog and like a like a community for men with all this, and I think that that could turn into a book eventually. But I've always wanted to write a book, and this is something I'm passionate
about. I was either reading an article or I saw an ad. No, it was an ad, and at a strange, it was a website, but at a strange website name started by a doctor. I can't remember this, but it was specifically geared towards men being able to get medical advice on sensitive topics.
Yeah.
That was the website. So genital herpes and whatever. Whatever it happens to be that you don't want to go to the doctor's office for.
What?
It was like they'll deliver meds to you. Like it was discounted herpes meds to your door every single month, and you can go online and talk to the doctor, and like it was specifically geared towards that. I wish I could remember what it was called. I'm sure we got a few people out there that want this
advice. I think in general, some of the medical field is shifting to virtual office visits.
Sure.
You know, so it's kind of an extension of that, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's got to be, you know, uncomfortable to have to go out in public when stuff's happening and talk to people and stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, the world's changing. Technology.
I always, quote unquote, went in for a physical. And then it was always, oh, by the way, while I'm here, can you go ahead and run this test?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I dig.
And then you kind of walk funny for a little while after that.
Are you wanting to disclose anything today?
No. No. This is younger. This is like, you know, it's more like
you guys think my idea could work, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because there's literally, I'm telling you, there's nothing out there.
So the ultimate question is, do men have a thirst for the knowledge about the topic?
Certain men do. If you're like me,
yeah.
Like you, a guy like me has to research everything and overanalyze everything.
Yeah.
Now, I would say that most men are probably not like that, but I think there's a group who is. That is.
We almost went down the same road as you, but we found out that that I was the problem. So, yeah. I mean, I'm a survivor, though. I'm a low sperm count survivor that happened to still have three children. So, the doctor says you're going to have difficulty. Don't always believe that because I have three kids. So, it's fine. Apparently, I had one, and that one was super strong.
Doesn't it usually happen when you just stop trying? You stop kind of caring about it, and then things kind of work out?
Maybe.
We always like to joke that mine got through the Amazon.
Yeah.
Went for a long swim.
Just take a while.
The Amazon?
It's a long journey for those little suckers, dude.
It is.
Doesn't just happen.
Boy, you do that process, though, and you realize just how, like, much has to go right.
To have a baby?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it is crazy, too, like, when you think of, like, how many, like, unwanted pregnancies there are when people are younger and they're just not being smart, like, you know, all the lines that have
well, how easy up. Some people seem to get pregnant when they don't want it, and then the people that do struggle with it. And hence the science, by the way, if anyone ever says they got pregnant off a toilet seat, no, they didn't.
No.
Like, it takes a lot more than that.
Yeah. Somebody, that's like a thing people
say
that?
Yeah, you know, it's just out there in the world. People, like, that don't want to admit, maybe, that they actually had sex. Oh, I must have sat on a toilet seat or something. It's like, no. Nope.
It's like getting gonorrhea from a tractor.
No.
Or a deer carcass.
No. or a deer carcass.
That thing is... That's the most messed up gang.
I mean, well, you're one of us now.
Well, I mean, when you really think about it, I mean, if they wanted brother, that blood, if that was the angle, dude. It's a whole different spin on Band of Brothers.
There's things to do there.
Is what it is. You know, Band of Brothers, like, usually let's smear some blood on our pinkies together and then we'll be connected. No, I got a better idea. See that deer over there?
That is so messed up.
I got an idea. Well, you know, that's probably why I was never in a gang. Didn't sound all that appealing to me, Williams.
Yeah. I do have more questions, though, but it's just...
I can't answer them because it wasn't my gang.
Yeah.
I wasn't part of it.
Yeah, you guys got any Memorial Day plans before we wrap her up?
When is that?
It's this weekend.
It's this weekend, yeah.
I'm trying to work out some things. Knoxville's doing Friday and Saturday night this week.
Really?
To try to make up for the rainouts they've had, so I'd like to try to make it down there.
Well, that's exciting. Are you going to go to the Dingus?
Yeah, let's just judge stuff that we don't care about.
Yeah, Mark, okay, why don't you make fun of other people for a warm glass of shut the hell up.
I think so. I've never been. I would definitely think I need to stop at the dingus, right?
Yeah. Absolutely. When you go to Knoxville, you have to go to the dingus.
You might get an STD from just walking in the place.
Can't do that. That's not. It's just like getting pregnant on a toilet seat.
That's not how
it
works.
It's not possible.
That's not how it works.
You can get one from a kiss.
Yeah, I love this weekend for racing purposes. It's the best weekend of the year. Sunday's just massive eggplant emoji day.
What's on Sunday?
Everything is on Sunday.
500?
Monte Carlo F1 is Sunday morning, I believe, bright and early.
Yep.
Right?
And then we got Indy 500 and then Coke 600 all one day. So we used to, back in the day, when I was a boy, we would go out to Nebraska for a big dirt late model race.
Oh, yeah?
On that Sunday night, yeah. But I don't do that anymore.
That sounds super cool.
Dude, did you see that? We'll have to talk about this over lunch. Never mind.
Are we going to lunch?
I was offering.
Why don't you join us? We are going somewhere here, but I think we got some other CH people heading over.
Oh, okay.
Come have lunch with us.
That sounds lovely.
It is lovely, to be honest with you. Now, like, I don't know if you feel this way. Nick probably does. When you have not a regular job, like we don't have regular jobs, things like holidays just don't mean quite as much.
Yeah.
Because we're not like off the daily grind, like, oh, we get an extra day off of work because we can take that any day that we want.
Yeah.
Well, so it's like, not really surprising me for not know exactly when a holiday is coming up because it's just a different world.
Before I joined your team, right, I worked just the office 9-to-5-er, that whole thing, a diet a little each day.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, as I got to know you, I think one of the things you said was, I don't even like know when it's Monday anymore. I don't care that it's Monday.
There's no Monday feeling.
Most people work in an office like Sunday night. You know, I got to freaking go back to that office in the morning and everything. Like, and that's totally true. I've totally experienced that. Where like,
yeah, I get you.
I don't hate Mondays. I don't hate Sunday.
The Sunday night dread.
All that
Sunday night dread.
Yeah.
You know? I actually look forward to Sunday nights. Typically, a little Sunday night baseball. I got Billions on Showtime. Like, you got a good show that you're looking forward to that week.
Game of Thrones.
Never, not my thing, dude.
Did you guys watch The Challenge?
No.
Last night?
No.
Got the finale.
I stopped that at about 22.
Best show
years
on
old.
TV, man. It's not even close.
I used to be into it.
It is so good.
I'm with you. I used to be there.
Love that show. It's gotten so much better.
Do they still have like, CT?
CT's still around. He's not on every season, but he
was always kind of a prick, right?
Johnny Bananas. CT's matured. You know, he's got a wife and kid now.
Yeah. He's got to be 35 plus.
Oh, yeah.
Years old? Okay.
I would think so.
Who's the oldest guy on that show, routinely?
Wes, CT, and Johnny Bananas would be the three oldest guys.
Abe?
But
is Abe still on that?
He's around, but he the last time we saw him was a couple years ago. Daryl? Remember Daryl?
I don't
or
remember.
Or Darrell?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he was around.
I don't think so.
Yeah, best show on television. I don't know, four or five shows that I'll watch.
When you look at real world
challenge,
real world road rules, and I give you only one guess, you actually have to nail this. Who's the most successful people to ever come out of that? There's one. Most successful
The
person.
Miz.
The Miz.
Yeah.
Actual professional wrestler, The Miz.
The what?
The Miz. Right. Mike, he came out of that show.
Yep.
And it's like a big deal, I think, in wrestling. I don't follow wrestling close, but I think he's a big deal, right?
Yeah, no, he really is. He's one of their top guys. And then Johnny Bananas like has his own like show outside of it and stuff now. He's kind of crossed over.
Yeah.
If you will.
Well, with a name like Johnny Bananas.
Check that birth certificate.
Yeah, I don't know. All right. Before we get out of here, Ryan Grove. Let's just talk quietly about Ryan. Let's just all calm down.
That's kind of Ryan's style. He's not in your face. He's not aggressive.
He's really chill.
He's there to help you.
He's a sweet guy.
Ryan's calm. He's not going to sell you. He's just going to help you buy and sell real estate. That's all he's going to do. That's all he wants to do. Just give Ryan a chance. Call Ryan. He's up in Ames, Hunziker. Big, fancy, expensive building.
He's a sweetheart.
On the corner of Duff and, is that 16th? Williams would know. South 16th?
I don't know.
Come on, Williams. Don't you drive past that on your way to Hilton sometimes?
No, I mean, yeah, but I never
I think that's South 16th. It's right by Hickory Park. Hunziker Real Estate is their name. Been a name since dirt was formed, since the glaciers rolled through and gave us radon. That's how long they've been there. And Ryan Grove will be there until he's dead. So call Ryan. Help you buy or sell. Nevada, Gilbert, Boone.
Watch out for the gangs.
Ames.
He'll keep you out of the gang.
Ryan might know a member of the Cowboys.
Seriously,
it's possible.
Seriously, Mark, the Cowboys gang thing is the most messed up thing I've ever heard.
What do you want me to say, man?
That's
just what the rumor was.
It's got to be
how
true.
How cool would it be if we had a member listening? I was like, I remember those days.
A retired
days,
member now? Man. Yeah.
I remember those days.
Would your brother be a resource?
I don't know if that was a thing back when he's 9 years older than me.
Okay.
So it might have formed after. But anyway.
What about Grove?
I hope maybe. He wasn't a member.
No, I'm not saying that, but maybe he knows somebody.
I don't know. I got to track down some people that I went to school with. Find out. They have more information on this.
That is so messed up.
So Ryan Grove, calling for real estate. He does not. He was not a member of the Cowboys. I guarantee you that.
He will not wrong you.
No, he will not.
We got to end this podcast. Have a great Memorial Day weekend, everybody.
Summer's on the way.